I call it luck.
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Hello and welcome to episode 279 of the CantoBite Dispatch. I'm Emily Lind, and with me, as always, my delightful co-host, Brittany Brown. Hi, Brittany.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I am doing good. It's a good week so far. I've slowly started exercising again, so that's been nice.
Oh, yeah? How's that going?
God, I've just been walking. I'm going to wait until I have like a system down. So when I am able to get down to a 15-minute mile walking, that will tell me that I'm ready to start running again.
Okay.
And right now I'm about like a 16-minute. So I'm getting there. So yeah, that's fun. Then yesterday, my work, they do like the Oscars, you know, or they have like awards for people, and I won an award, and I love winning things.
Yes.
I love winning things to the point where I was texting you yesterday. I was like, Emily, I don't think I'm going to win. Even though like we
you
both
were very
know,
upset.
I was very upset. I was like, I get so nervous because, you know, it's in front of like the whole organization, you know? And it was funny because the person presenting my award was talking about, like, she's like, all right, this person, you know, I love working with them. They're so great with customers. They're always, you know, helpful. And I'm just thinking, like, holy shit, this person's dope. And then she said my name. And I'm like, oh, that's me. Like, everyone was dying how surprised I was. Uh-huh. Like, there's a picture of me accepting the award. I'll just send it to you. And I'm just like so stoked. Aww. I don't know. Like, I love receiving recognition. And
oh, yeah, it's really nice.
It's kind of dumb, like, admitting that. But it's like, that's my love language, is people telling me I'm good at something. Yeah. I will forever, even though I have awards, I'll still second guess myself. And it was funny because the thing I got an award in was something that I, like, always, you know, my customer service. I always feel like I could be better at it. I mean, I feel like all my working life I've been told that I don't really have great customer service. So it's nice getting an award for customer service because I'm just like, oh, shit, like, maybe I am kind of fucking good at this. I think it just brings me back to when I used to work at a bowling alley and just no one fucking took me seriously. I was very dedicated employee. I mean, I was like fucking what, like 19 years old at the time. I don't know. I just felt like I deserved some goddamn respect. And like, now I have it. Not in a bowling alley. So yeah, that's nice. Yeah. So that's nice. You know, I don't know. Just recognition's nice, you know. Going to Disneyland this weekend, so that should be fun.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, I was able to get all my reservations, everything I wanted. I'm still 50-50, though. I made a reservation for lunch and for dinner for Blue Bayou and Cafe Orleans, and they have basically the same menu, but it's a little more expensive.
Yeah.
It's more expensive to eat at Blue Bayou, but there's a but here. I'm trying to think of the but. It's a little more expensive, but Blue Bayou, that's the restaurant that overlooks Pirates of the Caribbean. So when you're in there, you know, in a little boat, you look over and you see a bunch of people eating. That's going to be me. I'm going to be eating the whole fucking menu. But I texted my sister. I was like, hey, I need help. Which reservation should I cancel? And she's like, I made those same reservations for Monday. I'm just waiting. What's happening is she's waiting for Blue Bayou, because what she wants to do is she wants to get on the walk-on menu, because there's like seven of us, but she made a Cafe Orleans reservation. So I guess I'll just have to play it by ear, like which one I'm going to cancel, because I would hate if I chose Blue Bayou for Carlos, but then I canceled it because like, oh, I thought we were going to have there on Monday. Then like the plan would be on the walk-on or the walk-in menu or the walk-on reservation. I don't know. I enjoy, though, that these are my worries right now versus, like, anything, like, health-related. Yeah. So, it's very nice to worry about checking my dining reservations at Disney every 15 minutes versus, like, checking, like, my, like, kp.org notifications. So, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing? What's new?
Ugh, you know, just sort of going along, just trying to get through it. Work's been annoying. I hate everybody. I hate my job. I hate the people I work with. Everybody's dumb and annoys me.
I can't say that for at least 4 business weeks. So,
because you won an award?
Because I won an award. I can't complain now. I won, Emily.
We don't do awards. Like, occasionally my boss will like give me a post-it note with a smiley face on it, and that's about it.
I think we're having an ice cream party too on
Jesus Christ
on Wednesday. Well, it was like employee recognition day last week and like no one celebrated, and then like this week we had to do the employee recognition lunch, and then I don't know, then we'll probably get like a nacho party at the end of like fucking next month because of it's busy season right now for our work. So
we don't have anything like that. No, let's see, the only good thing, Kev's gonna come next month for a few days, so that'll be nice.
That's fun.
Actually, you know, like be in the same country as my fiance. More like Megan. He's starting to make plans and stuff. Yeah, he's still gotta get his flights, but there's in Queens, there is this Museum of the Moving Image, which has lots of cool, like, movie shit. But they also have a permanent Jim Henson exhibit.
Ooh.
And they have a bunch of Muppets. Like, they have a Big Bird, and they have a Statler and Waldorf, and they have, like a Fozzie and everything. And there's some, like, Labyrinth and Dark Crystal displays. And it's really cool. So we're going to go and see that one day. And there is a Beatrix Potter exposition at this library museum I've been wanting to go to anyway. It's like this gorgeous, like just like insanely beautiful library in New York. And they have all these like Beatrix Potter paintings and illustrations right now. So we're going to go to that. And then we're going to just like, you know, hang out and eat food. And I can meet Steve. He's got to meet Steve because Steve is the one who is going to do our wedding. And so it'll be nice to have them actually, you know, meet each other before that.
I love that so much that you know the person like doing your wedding, because I feel like that's my biggest fear. Not my biggest fear, but a irrational fear is, you know, having someone do your wedding and then like them fucking up your name or something.
You know, it's like if you're not like part of a church, then your options are kind of limited to either hiring a stranger or you hope that you have a friend who is, you know, allowed to perform marriages.
I keep trying to talk Rusty into doing it for us, but he won't do it. And it's kind of a bummer. But actually now I'm thinking, I think someone else would be better at doing it. So I'll have to talk to Carlos and see, because I think his best friend should actually... Yeah. Good idea, Brittany. Yeah, I'm going to talk to Carlos after this. Have his best friend do it.
Yeah, I think having a friend do it is cool. Okay. Even if they're really only, like, you know, like, more friends with one of you than the other. Like, it's still cool that You know, it's still better than having just like some like looking up a Justice of the Peace in the fucking, well, I was going to say the Yellow Pages. I don't know what you do now. I guess just Google it. But anyway, let's see what else. Oh, I watched The Zone of Interest, which is, I mean, well, we got to say it's sort of a Holocaust movie. It's definitely a Holocaust movie, but it is about the commandant of Auschwitz, who lived in a house with his family literally right outside the walls of Auschwitz. And the whole movie, you never go inside the camp. You're just with this family. So you never see any of the atrocities, but you're constantly hearing the background noise of the camp. And it's just one of the most devastating things I've seen. And it's so weird to talk about. It's like not something I would normally talk about in a movie, but the sound design of this movie is fucking incredible. And it's haunting and weird. And it's like, I watched it. I mean, I've been wanting to watch it for a while, but I've just not been in the mood for a Holocaust movie. But with the Oscars coming up, I'm like, okay, I finally got to like sit down and watch it. And it's absolutely incredible. But also, after I watched it, and I'm like, I just need to stare into space for a while now.
Huh. I need to add that on my list.
Yeah, I mean, it is just a phenomenal movie.
I love movies about, like, World War II or, you know, something like this, but I feel like I have a limit to the amount of violence that I like to watch. Like Saving Private Ryan, like I fucking can't do it. Like, I don't even think I've watched Saving Private Ryan like sitting down like full like start to finish. I think I've only watched it in chunks. I fucking love Band of Brothers, but like I have to close my eyes like half of the movie or half of the show. So
you never see inside the camp.
You never see inside the camp.
So you just hear things.
You just hear things. I'll have to add this. I know. Yeah. I finally started Masters of the Air. And
how is it?
And you know what? It's pretty good. It's different than obviously like the first two, The Pacific and Band of Brothers, like the formatting and everything. But I really like it. It's interesting because they're diving into prisoner of war encampments. So they never really do that. So it's really interesting to kind of see that. It's interesting to compare to, because my grandfather survived a POW camp, they were pretty fucking brutal to him. But yeah, it's interesting because it's like they're either fed, they have somewhere to sleep. Like, and then like obviously it's like they're trying to like get out, obviously, because you know the war is ending soon and everything. So just it's interesting like seeing all that, because it's about the airborne pilots, you know, the ones that would do like the day missions. So That's really cool. I know, I wish I had like all the terms and everything. I really enjoy this stuff, but there's so many fucking terms, like I don't know. But yeah, it's really good. Austin Butler, though, he's a beautiful man. Like, I admit, like, sometimes I get lost in those eyes and that really big head of his. But just his fucking voice, like the Elvis voice, just never went away. But I hate it so much because I hated it at first. And then I started getting used to it. And I hate myself for getting used to it. I hate myself for it, Emily. I like Austin Butler, though, because he was dating Vanessa Hudgens for like 10 or so years and they broke up, and it was very sad because they were together for a long time. But then during COVID, she did this weird live stream where she was talking about COVID and she's like, well, you know, people are going to die. Like, it's inevitable. Like, we shouldn't really be like so concerned about that.
Yikes.
So, fuck Vanessa Hudgens, even though she, I guess she was high as shit when she did that, but I'm like, I don't know, man, like, next time you're high, like, stay away from the gram.
I mean, I feel like I have been high a lot. I don't think I've ever been, like, high where I'm like, hey, I don't care if a bunch of people die of a preventable thing because I don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to add that movie to my list. What's it streaming on?
Piracy?
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll have to.
I'm sure it'll be somewhere at some point, but because it's probably going to get foreign language film at the Oscars. And so hopefully that gives it enough buzz to, like.
I know Poor Things is now on Disney Plus.
Hulu over here. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I follow a lot of Taylor Swift accounts, and for some reason, because they like Emma Stone, because Emma Stone's from Taylor Swift, so a lot of them were saying Disney Plus, probably because they're all from, like, the UK or other places where Hulu and Disney Plus are,
I really want to see them. I just, like, I never got to the theater for it. I need to get back to a movie theater, but anyway, I really want to see it. I know, I think I'll really enjoy it, but I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my list.
The Eras Tour will be on Disney Plus next week.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll watch it at some point. Maybe not all of it, but I'll turn it on.
Yes, you should. It even like, it's a good thing to have, like, just background noise. Like, you're working on a Lego, you're doing something, watch the Eras Tour. I know there's a theory right now, because Taylor Swift, she's a sneaky one. We think that, because originally it was supposed to be, like, whatever, like, midnight the Friday, but she moved it to, like, Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time. She never does anything Pacific time. She always says something Eastern time. So what we think is that she has two albums left to own, which is her debut album and Reputation. So her first album and I think it's her sixth album. Yeah, because there's debut, Fearless, Speak Now, Red, 1989, and Reputation. So number one and number six. So she still has to own those. So the title of the Eras Tour 2 has the parentheses Taylor's version. And so the only reason why the movie would have those parentheses is because she owns everything in the movie. And the movie includes Reputation and a song from debut that she doesn't own yet, Emily. So what I think is that once the clock strikes midnight, she will own everything. So she will release debut and Reputation Taylor's version at midnight Eastern, Pacific time. Wait, no, I take that back. Oh, wait. Yeah. Midnight Eastern time.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's a good theory. I hope it happens. I would like to have more music to listen to. I wasn't really I liked 1989 Taylor's version, but I don't like that album coming out shares the anniversary of me finding out that my cancer spread.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Do you want another album just to have?
I want another album, though, like, it was a good album, Emily. 1989, it was a good album. But then, like, all the bonus songs, you know, the vault songs were fucking great. But I never really connected with it. And I think that's probably why, because I was just going through. I was fucking going through it. Not that, I mean, I'm still going through it, but differently now. But I want something new. And then, but also, 6 weeks, her new album comes out.
Yeah, that'll be good.
It'll be good for me. It'll be good for all of us. A nice, good hope. I think it's going to be a breakup album. I don't know. I'm okay with that. Dude, you can write whatever. Write about how you went to the zoo the other day. I don't know. Write about how, like, Travis Kelce is the fucking bee's knees. I love that guy. His brother just retired. Emily? Yeah,
I saw that.
I watched the whole thing.
Okay.
The Kelce brothers are just so special. Like, Jason is just, he's put his heart into the Eagles the past like 13 seasons. Like he loves football so much, but he loves family so much. And the thing is that, you know, football is really fucking hard on the body. And, you know, he wants to be a dad to his three kids. Like, he just had his third kid. And, like, it's kind of hard to be, like, a dad when, like, your body's, like, terrible because of football.
Maybe you want to stop the, you know, things that cause traumatic brain injuries.
Exactly, which good for him, but it was such a sad thing. Like, he's just, you just see his family sitting in the front row, like, crying. What I don't appreciate, though, is that I don't need the close-ups of Travis crying. Like, I don't know, like, can you just, media, can we, like, let people have space when big things like that happen? Because even though, yes, like, Jason Kelsey's brother is dating Taylor Swift, like, can we, like, give him some grace and just stop being so weird with, you know, like, we're gonna stalk you in Australia when you go to the zoo, or have a helicopter over your fucking head, you know, and distract all the cute, lovely animals, because we're gonna, boyfriend.
Make it so you can't live in that new mansion that you bought.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let him fucking live, and let her live too. I mean, God damn, I know she's the biggest thing right now because of the Eras tour and all the other stuff going on with her, but, you know, just let my friends live, okay?
Yeah, okay. But also, on the other side of that, since we were just talking about the paparazzi, Kate Middleton.
Oh, yes, no. Yeah, you can fuck with Kate. Fuck with Kate. Go,
yes, go she's from racist. Australia.
And, oh, man, okay, so I love the theory that she was just seen recently in the car with her mom. I love the theory that's actually Katie Holmes.
I mean, look, I don't think anybody thinks it's literally Katie Holmes. But definitely people were immediately like, that doesn't look like her. And why is she wearing sunglasses and blah, 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 blah. And okay, I'm not necessarily willing to go down the conspiracy row of it's not her, but oh my god, it's so like funny to read, and I'm kind of like, maybe it's not her.
I know, right? Because I'm just like, she doesn't, like, why is she so unhappy? Like, Kate
I mean, she always looks
unhappy, camera ready.
I mean anytime she's photographed with her husband, she looks fucking miserable, but
she's done pegging him, Emily. That's why she's, like, taking time, because it's, like, she's done paying. Like, she's been with this man for God knows how long, and she finally put her foot down up his ass and said, I'm done.
I just, you know, like, she sucks so much. But the thing is still so fucking weird, and I don't know quite why it fascinates me the way that it does. But again, like, and we talked about the last week, but it does, I think a lot of it comes down to, I am so flabbergasted that this entity that exists completely for PR reasons at this point is so fundamentally bad at PR. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, what I was thinking about, you know, with the other day, because Kev mentioned, because when I, you know, we were talking about it, and I said something about the picture, and he had no idea that this picture had been taken, because the lockdown that the royal family has over the press in the UK is so tight that, like, people are barely willing to talk about any of this shit because they're terrified of losing access, as opposed to the US where people are just like printing anything, or Spain when people are just like, yeah, Kate's in a coma, like all sorts of crazy shit. But in the UK, they're getting so much less of this published. But what I was thinking about, I mean, first of all, this leads to a couple of things. Is one, they absolutely could have stopped all of the hateful articles about Meghan if they wanted to, and it proves they did not want to, because they wanted her as a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
But what was a lot of people have been pointing out is before Harry got with Meghan, even the British press wrote about William and Kate in a very different way. it was much more negative. There were all sorts of articles about, you know, like work shy William and lazy Kate. But as soon as a member of the royal family is like, oh, I want to be with this woman who is not white, then all of that changed. And suddenly it's everybody loves William. Kate's this magical, like, fairy princess who's such a hard worker and the perfect, perfect princess who never sets a foot wrong and is the perfect representation of the royal family. That's when all of that started, is after Harry got with Meghan.
Crazy.
And it's just, like, so blatantly gross that blah.
Yeah, it's gross, and it makes me feel bad to say that, you know, she... I wish that the tables have turned.
Yeah.
The tables have turned. But fuck, I want to know what the fuck is going on, because even now, like, Camilla has paused, and she's like, I've done too much work, I need a break too.
But the thing about that is, why the fuck, like, if she had said, I've been doing a lot of, you know, events, I've been stepping up when everybody else couldn't, now I just want to, like, spend time with my sick husband. But she didn't do that. She fucking jetted off to, like, a fucking vacation.
I wonder, I mean, it's none of my business, because especially, like, I know, like, you know, as a person with cancer, I know that it's none of my business to, you know, to know what type of cancer, like, someone has. But I fucking want to know what type of cancer King Charles has.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah, I get that. Like, I feel, I do think the rules are different with, if you have a monarch. And this isn't, like, look, I don't think you need to, like, be totally invasive. I think for, like, there's lots of things you should, like, the press should back off on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about, you know, the, like, fatal disease that your monarch has, like, that probably is in the public interest.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's, like, I feel bad, obviously, like, being, like, I want to know, but should I know? No, it's none of my fucking business, but I want to know.
But then, like, that's the thing, like, again, like, this isn't, you know, just, like, a, if he were just, like, you know, like, a fucking Hollywood movie star, like, what everybody was talking about Jamie Foxx, I'm like, there's no public interest in knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
A monarchy is a different thing. If you are going to insist on having a fucking monarchy in goddamn 2024, then, yeah, this is part of it that comes with it, is, like, are you going to die?
Yeah.
And is your, like, horrible fucking son going to be king now or be king, like, 20 years from now? Like, I do think that's important to know.
Who will be Emily's king? That's what this is about. Emily just wants to know who her king is.
Yeah. I want to know who to hate more.
I love that for you. That, like, oh, you God, don't know what you're walking into when you go over there, like, who you'll hate more. Like, I love that for you, because it's so nice to have someone to talk to this stuff with, because I feel like for years, you know, like, I grew up, my mom fucking loved Princess Diana. Like, my mom, when she found out Princess Diana died, like, she was, like, sobbing for days, like, cleaning the house, crying, you know, like, it was, I always think of my mom when I think of Princess Diana, because she's just so, like, just how Diana, I mean, her mannerisms remind me of my mom. So it's funny, because we've always been interested in the royal weddings and everything. Like, we wake up at the ass crack of dawn, you know, watch the weddings, and I swear we've been texting each other, like, what do you think's going on? Like, what the fuck is going on? So, I don't know. I feel bad that other people's misery, potentially, is entertaining me at this moment, but
thing to remember is, they're terrible fucking people.
Yes. And I feel like I always try to see the good side of people, but it's like a teeter-totter, you know? Just, it's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, like, they were so terrible to Megan, and like that stays with me. I feel like so many people fucking hate Harry and Megan now because it's like, you know, they did the Netflix special, like they made a bunch of fucking money, you know, they live in the States now, like they are so fucking successful now with their charities, you know, with everything with Spotify,
yeah, with the Invictus Games, like it's
exactly.
All like, yeah.
And people are just like, oh, well, they just want to be seen on TV, you know, they just want people to talk about that. No, that's why they move. Like, obviously, if Oprah came to me and say, hey, I'm going to interview you and you guys are going to get millions and millions of fucking dollars. Hell yeah.
Well, especially, yeah. Especially when your family has been like, no, we're not giving you any money for security anymore, even though you 100% know that there is a credible threat against them.
Yeah, not even paying for it, but even just getting secure. Like, that was so fucked up hearing that. That but Harry even lost though, even, that case. Yeah,
like, even when he was willing to pay for it, they were like, no.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was reading an article today about how he's trying to rekindle his relationship with Charles, which, I mean, I guess that's fine. You know,
it's your dad. It's got to be hard.
Yeah, it's your dad. Yeah, it's so hard when your parents are. Charles isn't a boomer, is he? Charles is a boomer.
He's around my parents' age.
Yeah, so it's hard sometimes having parents that are boomers, you know, because it's like some boomers are getting progressive and like we love that for them. But then some of them just decide like, I'm going to not be a good person and I'm going to stick to my ways, even though my ways are really racist and just really not inclusive.
It's so weird. I've always been struck with Charles, like his huge commitment to environmentalism, which is, but he's had since he was like young. That doesn't feel like somebody, you know, like, you know, sometimes these royal chair, like endeavors just feel like they kind of like threw a dart at a dartboard and went, okay, that's the cause I'm going to promote. But he seems to really like truly believe in that stuff. But it's so interesting because it's something that we generally think of as like this big, like very like part of progressivism.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he's conservative in like the way that like fucking, you know, like Republicans are conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know. It's so fucking weird because how could you not be when you grow up the way he did? Like that guy was never going to be normal.
Oh, no, never. And it's interesting how he was portrayed on The Crown. I feel like he was portrayed as, like, very, like, not guilty. Like, just, like, poor Charles. Like, everything is poor fucking Charles. Yeah. Which, like, some parts it is. Like, some parts it really is fucking poor Charles.
Yeah, like, it does seem like the, you know, the stuff about him being, like, horribly bullied at the school that he didn't even want to go to in the first place. And obviously, like, there's not a lot of, like, familial affection. Like, it's not like I don't think that Elizabeth and Philip didn't love their children. But sort of that very, when you already get, like, the super, like, upper-class British reserve thing, and then on top of that, your actual royalty. That scene that always stuck with me is the one where she comes back after being away for like 6 months and like sees Philip playing with the kids and then just like goes to bed, doesn't say hi to him. Like, I mean, my dad would go on like trips for like 2 days. And when he came back, it would be with like presents and hugs and like all, you know, like he was so affectionate. I don't know. At the same time, I do think, you can go, okay, there's reasons you're an asshole, but at some point you're still an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I feel about Charles.
Yeah. I don't know. I just hope whatever the fuck is going on with them isn't like too catastrophic, but also you know, I believe in karma. You know, karma is a cat purring in my lap because it loves me. So I hope that for whatever harm that they did to Megan, to Harry, like, is coming back around to them. It sounds like it is.
Nothing would give me more pleasure than them getting a divorce.
Yeah.
Like, just the pure schadenfreude that I would feel if she never gets to be queen.
Well, I mean, that's how, because I never finished The Crown, but isn't that, like, how, like, the last season was kind of, like, staged? Like, the mom was, that Kate's mom was trying. Oh, yeah,
that, like, I don't know how the show, like, I stopped watching the show, too, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to see their quote-unquote love story. But, yeah, it's in Omid Scobie's book a lot about how influential Kate's mom was in that relationship.
I couldn't imagine being a parent. I mean, I can't even imagine being a parent, but I couldn't imagine being a parent and, like, pushing my child to marry someone. Like,
she got into her dream university and then didn't go there and waited a year and went to the where William was going to go.
Crazy.
It's fucking creepy as shit.
I don't know.
Should we talk about some Star Wars?
I guess, but I don't want to fucking talk about those stupid commercials. I swear to fucking God, no one knows when to stop a joke.
I literally don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. Okay, so there's... Okay. It's very hard for me to explain, but there are these commercials that... I believe, I don't remember where it was. I think it was Brazil or somewhere. I don't know. But the way that they would do commercials is that they would be like in the middle of a scene, like middle of the, like, let's say, like, it's the scene where Obi-Wan is showing Luke Skywalker Anakin's lightsaber. So he opens up a little thing and then it's like, have this beer. It's a beer commercial. And, like, everyone keeps, like, oh, my God, like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is this fucking beer commercial. So then it's, like, they're taking Star Wars scenes and they're turning them into beer commercials. And I'm done with it, Emily. I'm fucking done with it.
Where are you seeing this?
It's on Twitter.
By Twitter, I don't look at any Star Wars shit anymore. Except for, like, I see Pablo's tweets and I see some podcast tweets. Mostly I just am on Twitter to check my royal gossip.
Yeah. I had to hide a bunch of it, but
this isn't me, like, bold, like, I literally do not know about this.
Thank you. But yeah, I'm glad that we don't have to talk about that. I probably butchered explaining it. Someone can probably explain it better to you.
No, I don't, because then it's like exposing me to, I don't need it. That's all, like, okay. I'm so glad I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. I'm so envious of you, but yeah, we can talk about Bad Batch.
Andor and Obi-Wan are getting Blu-ray releases.
Oh, good for Catherine.
I'm excited for Andor because there'll be, like, featurettes and commentaries and stuff. I am wary of buying shows before they are done. Because I'm like, what if season 2 of Andor fucking sucks? But I have faith in Tony Gilroy.
I do too. And then they're going to do, like, a Star Wars expansion. So they're going to do, like, different planets from, like, Andor and Ahsoka.
Star Tours, right?
Yeah, Star Tours. Yeah, I don't know what I said, but probably, yeah, Star Tours.
They are doing an expansion.
They're doing an expansion on Star Tours, yeah. Not until, like, April. I'll try to go. I hate admitting this, but I don't like Star Tours.
Yeah, I've never been on it. I don't know.
I don't like the rides where I'm sitting down, I have to put on some fucking glasses and move back and forth in my fucking chair. Just let me fucking live, you know? I feel like I'm getting old, too, because roller coasters, like, I don't fuck with anymore. You know, some I'm like, okay, yeah, but I don't want to go upside down. You know what it was? I think it was fucking Disney Paris, because those rides are so fucking insane, Emily. Like, I wasn't expecting to go upside down on Space Mountain in France, but I wasn't expecting to go to France by myself, but I went to France by myself. You know, I'm so obnoxious with that. I apologize. Isn't that crazy? It's almost been a year.
Yeah.
Fucking insane. I don't know. So much fun, though. So much fun. It's just crazy. Just France and their fucking roller coasters. They have no chill. But
man, you say it's almost been a year, and then I'm like, man, Tap and I got engaged pretty fucking quick.
No, we just talked a lot. I mean, like,
I know. But it's just like, to think about, like, it feels like so much longer ago that I was going over there, and I was so scared because I'm like, I like this guy, but we haven't really spent any time together. Now we're going to be spending 2 weeks together, and oh my God, what if it doesn't work? And then I'm like,
this works.
Yeah, but it's just weird to think that, because it does. It feels like that's like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I know. In a couple weeks, it'll be 6 years since Carlos and I got together. I mean, technically, yeah, because our first date was 6 years ago. Monday, I think. So that's crazy to think about that it's been that long. No, it was probably, it was Sunday. Yeah, 6 years ago Sunday.
Yeah, so it's like really, like, technically it's like 2 years for me and Kev. But again, that was mostly, you know, like, Anaheim was really short, and then it was just like we were talking on the phone a couple, like talking on, you know, like FaceTime a couple times a week. Okay, Bad Batch. Let's talk about the hero of the episode, and by that, of course, I mean our girl Batcher.
Batcher's the MVP. Batcher's like the missing piece of the Bad Batch.
She's a good dog. She's the best dog. Even Crosshair is petting her. That is how good she is.
I'm so happy for Crosshair's arc.
He is quietly becoming like my favorite guy on the show.
He's going to die, but it's going to be sad. He's going to die.
This season especially, I think his arc has been so interesting. I love his relationship with Omega. It's so like funny and still sweet and good and touching, and the stuff with Hunter this episode were really great. And again, just he was petting Batcher. So I saw some tweet. I'm sorry, I don't know who it was from. I think it was something that was just like retweeted into my thing that Crosshair is like the dad who doesn't want to get a cat, but then he becomes best friends with the cat.
I love that so much. I love Crosshair.
I think they've done such an excellent job with him. And Star Wars, not always great with like nuance in your characters. Not great with that, but fucking Bad Batch has been really good with it.
This show has no right being as good as it is.
I know, it's insane.
It's so crazy. Like, every time I'm watching, I get sad when it's over. That doesn't happen anymore, Emily. I usually get happy when it's over, especially if it's fucking Ahsoka. I'm always happy. I don't smoke cigarettes, but I want to fucking smoke a ciggy when it's over.
And when the beginning of the episode, when Crosshair is doing like target practice and his hand is shaking, and I just got so sad for him because that's like the thing that he is good at. And so if he doesn't have that, what does he have? And oh my God, when Wrecker brought him his armor.
Oh. It was so nice. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to throw it out.
Oh, Wrecker is great. I love Wrecker, obviously. Wreckers lied about, I can't remember the exact line, but it was something about why they're always giant monsters chasing us.
He's so right.
It's very funny, but also I go, okay, yeah, maybe dial back on the big monsters a little bit now. I mean, it's funny that you pointed it out, but also, yeah, there's too many big monsters chasing you.
Yeah, that's true. I was sad, too, that Crosshair's accuracy went down to 50%. It was like 54%. So I want someone to heal his space arthritis. I hope that it's space arthritis, but we both know that it's not.
Oh, he's not doing good.
Yeah.
He's He's great. Echo is back in this one. I gotta tell you, I don't really care about him very much. He's the like the one I care about the least.
I'm glad we didn't see Rex. I'm okay with not seeing Rex. Sorry, Corey.
I'm glad that we just got to be with the core gang again.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. I miss Tech.
I miss Tech, too. I'm very happy because sometimes, like, when characters die, other characters blame the bad character for them dying. I'm really glad that we didn't get that, like, it's your fault Tech died arc. Yeah. Like, I'm glad that we avoided that.
Yeah. Oh, I loved when Crosshair, like, fucking lit into Hunter. He's like, I risk everything to get you that message. It's not my fault she got captured.
Mm-hmm.
It's you guys are the ones who didn't fucking like get there in time. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. But I did like that because he did, you know, like he tried really hard to warn them. And I just, yeah. So I'm glad the redemption of Crosshair continues to be a great thing. And again, when Badger was running around in the snow, and at the beginning of the episode, when she was playing with the, I don't know, whatever those little alien animals are. Or when they were all, like, when they were then later sleeping all cuddled together.
I know. I love their home. I'm so happy for them. I hope that's forever, but it's not going to be.
I just, look, it doesn't have to be forever, but I can't handle, like, seeing that place get destroyed. If they have to flee it, that's one thing. If it's get destroyed, I'm not okay with that.
Omega's just so good, though, because it's like Omega could choose, you know what, I can stay here, but she wants to save the rest of her brothers.
Yes. She's going to save all the clones.
There's just good. There's just so much good in Omega. Like, there's nothing negative I can say.
No, she's so sweet. I also love that when she pointed out that she's actually older than them.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah. I always forget that.
Yeah, because she's like aging like a normal person and not like a clone.
Yeah. They're like cats. The boys. Because it's like, you know, like 1 year of a cat. You know, because cats don't live longer. No, they're like dogs. They're like, because it's like one year is like 7 years in dog years. I don't know, like, how accurate that is.
I don't think it's accurate at all.
Just like the cat's lives thing.
I think it's pretty arbitrary.
I don't know. Like, why do cats have 9 lives?
It's got to trace back to some myth or some thing, you know. I don't know. Like, half the time I look into those things, it's like, it's from Shakespeare. I don't know. Anyway, I'm loving this season. It's been so good.
Yeah. I love it, too.
Anyway, justice for Crosshair. I'm glad that he is getting redeemed.
I am too. I love a good redemption arc, and I truly feel like Crosshair deserves it. I know Crosshair, you know.
Yeah. Oh, here's the thing about this redemption arc. It's actually a redemption arc, and you see him trying to be better and atoning for shit and working really hard, and not just, he's redeemed because he, at the very end, let himself get killed and killed the bad guy. Like, fuck you, that's not redemption. Redemption is putting in work and actually, like, making substantive changes. And he's doing that.
Yeah.
It's not just, like, suddenly in the last 10 seconds he decides to sacrifice himself. That's not a good redemption story. This is a good redemption story.
Yeah, or he decides to save the main character and then kiss them in the end. And then die. Because that all of a sudden makes you...
It's totally fine that he tortured her, both physically and mentally. And also is responsible for the deaths of literally billions of people. But hey, he's a hot white dude, so it's okay.
Fucking white people getting away with everything.
I fucking hate this fandom.
I know.
Anyway, Bad Batch, good.
Bad Batch, good. Yeah. Emily, I can't wait for you to join me in Celebration Tokyo.
That's not going to happen.
Can't wait to win the lottery and help you and Kev make it to
celebration.
That, yeah, okay. If you win the lottery and pay for us to go to Tokyo, then I'll go to Tokyo.
I might want to splurge and get better plane seating because it's going to be like 14 hours, 15 hours?
I think it's something like that, yeah.
I might want to splurge.
That's a big splurge.
I want to be comfortable. And plus, Rusty's going. And Rusty's very particular. I'm actually shocked that he's going, but I feel like he's going just in case something happens with passports again. But no, that's not going to happen. He has a passport now.
Okay, that's good.
He has a passport with a expiration date far away. But yeah. I know the thing that's annoying is that obviously, like, when you move, you have to change, like, your license. You have to change your passport, like, all that stuff. And, like, we want to move, obviously, because it's like we want to buy a home and everything. But it's hard because you have to change everything. And then We're getting married soon. So, obviously, I'm going to change my last name. So
I wouldn't say obviously. I'm not changing my last name.
Yeah. I have to. That's, like, the only thing that, like, Carlos wants. And, like, okay. Normally, like, I'm, like, gung-ho about, like, you know, fuck you. I'm not going to change my last name. But it's something that, like, he really wants. And, like, he never says he wants something. Yeah. Like, I'm fine with being an Argyle. So, I'm going to miss being a Brown, though. It's so stupid just how much pride sometimes people have in their last name sometimes. But I don't know. I fucking do. My grandfather survived the war, you know, prisoner of war. You know, I have so much pride for him and for, I don't know, that's really it. My dad was good too. I mean, I say was, like, he's, you know, dad's still here. Dad's good. I don't know. I think that's a white person thing. Like, having pride in, like, your
Well, last... you say that, but then Carlos wants you to take his last name.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm fine with it. I don't know. I always joke with him. Like, he always sees, like, really bad last names. He's like, would you rather have that or mine? I'm like, I'd rather have that.
No, it's funny because what I mentioned it to Kevin. He's like, it never even occurred to me that you would take my last name. So
that's funny. I know. Like, if Carlos was, like, if he was neutral about it, I would.
Yeah, yeah. But if it matters more to him than it does to you, then I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And it makes some things much easier. And I think I would maybe feel differently if I were, like, planning on having kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's simpler. Then I might do, like, a hyphenated thing just because it's simpler if your kids have the same last name as both their parents. But I'm 40, so that's not happening. And, I mean, it was never going to happen. I don't want kids, but... Like, I have enough shit I have to do in order to get married and be with my husband. I don't want to add a name change on top of it.
I love you saying that your husband.
That's weird.
I love that so much for you. I can't wait to say it. I know. I still need to get Carlos's wedding band. And I still need to convince him to not wear a gray tux. Motherfucker wants to look like James Bond. I love Carlos, but I'm not letting him wear gray. Like, I'm putting my foot down.
What's wrong with gray?
It doesn't go with his you know how people have, like, their color wheel and their colors?
Okay.
Gray's not his color.
Okay, so you don't object to gray, you object to gray on him.
Yes.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. And, like, he is just so dumbfounded. He's like, well, what do you mean I can't? I'm like, I told him, like, when we go elope, you can wear whatever you want. Put on a clown costume. Yes, that's fine. But because he looks so good and, like, you know, like, in blues and, you know, he would look into black. I don't know. He'll have to try one on and see. But. I know, I still need to figure out when we're going to do it. We're so busy right now. And there's a bunch of shit going on. And I do want to get married next year, but I don't know if it's really going to work next year because we have so much going on. You know, we have Celebration. You might be traveling to Nicaragua. I don't know.
You have my wedding.
Yeah, we have your wedding. And I don't want to steal your wedding year, Emily.
There's no such thing as a wedding year. As long as you're not getting married next May, I don't care.
I need to figure out shit soon, though, because my mom keeps bugging me about dates. I know my dad, it finally hit him that it's going to be in the backyard. I don't know why, because I've been talking about it for years, and so has my mom, but he's finally started, like, planning how we're going to do things in the backyard, so that's exciting. It's fun stuff, Emily, fun stuff. We're getting married. What are we going to talk about after we get married? Should we just end it?
I mean, maybe we're also going to have a very major time difference.
Oh, I know.
8 hours?
Shit, I know we'll have to probably start do recording on weekends
again. We'll have to do the weekends, but.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sterile will just end before that.
It's time for it to end. I'm ready for it to end. It sucks because I enjoy going to conventions and everything. It just, I can't fucking stand Star Wars anymore. I don't know what the fuck it is.
No, I'm enjoying the Bad Batch. I'm looking forward to the next season of Andor. I'm hopeful about Acolyte. You know, we get to see Jude Law as a dinosaur / baby head.
I am excited about that.
Jesus, imagine if you're listening to this for the first time. Our podcast is incomprehensible.
Well, yeah, I guess it's
that's true. Fine. I don't care.
I don't either.
There's like 6 people who listen to it anyway. It's fine.
I like those 6 people, though.
Yeah, they're good people.
Okay.
Okay, Brittany, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram and other social media accounts that I don't use as Canto Britt. What about you?
I am on social media at EF Lind. The show is at Cantabyte Pod. You can always send us email, cantabytepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, you know, retweet us or whatever, repost us on Blue Sky or give us a review somewhere if you listen to the show. That helps us. Yeah. Otherwise, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Canto Bitch number 1 doing it fulcrum style. Check it out. Listen up, y'all, because this is it. Fuck all the rest, be a Canto Bitch. Brittany the Ginge and Emily Lynn. Bet on these 2 to show place and win. These are the girls you've been looking for. Unique takes on Star Wars and more. Listen every week for laughs and fun. Take it from me, Canto Bitch number 1. All my girls at PH. All my girls at PH. EF Lind and Canto Britt. They got the goods and I just can't quit. How do you become a bitch like me? Podcast, you gotta download CBD. Send emails, just listen and chill. Give them some names to fuck, marry, kill. Ask them a question or send a top 3. Mine is Lindo, Brittany, and me. All my girls at some folks, they want a bang and a refresher. Asajj Ventress and Kylo Ren, yo. We'll have Tarkin and, of course, Mendo. Send a shout to the Porgs and to Rustin Brown. And Emily's dad straight putting it down. Every week, my girls be getting it done. I should know I've been down since day 1.